Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Yo, what is going on? And welcome to another episode of the Urban Fish Podcast, a beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. I'm Ramsey Abushala, editor of UrbanPitch.com. To my left on the couch, we got the Cozy Gang with us. Julio Matarosa, Bridget Flores. What's going on, y'all?
Cozy Gang in the building.
Chilling.
Yep. On the couch, that means we got a guest joining us via Zoom. He is a first-year player for the San Jose Earthquakes. Jamar Ricketts, what's going on? Thanks for joining the show. How you doing?
How are y'all? I'm excited to be here.
We appreciate you taking the time to, you know, hang out with us, have a little conversation, and just vibe.
Yes, thank you. I like the vibes already. It seems very, very comforting, so I'm excited to see what happens during this whole podcast.
All right, yeah, good. Get ready, because we're going to get you with some hard-hitting questions. You know, we're going to start off, you know, with the softballs, and towards the end, you know, we'll come with the heat.
Me and Victor grew up. You're a CSUN, one of the assistant coaches at CSUN, so I know Victor really well. Edwin Rivas is my dog since we was kids, so I know some stuff about you already.
Right.
All right, so let's start from the beginning. So you grew up in New Jersey, is that right?
Yes, Montclair, yeah. New Jersey.
Yeah, so what was it like growing up there? Because, you know, that's a big soccer town. The high school you went to, you know, St. Benedict's is known for its, you know, soccer history. So how'd you get into the game, and what was it like growing up on the East Coast?
So growing up on the East Coast is definitely way different than the West Coast, for sure. I pretty much grew up with my close-knit friends, everybody playing basketball, football. A couple of my friends played soccer, but it was just like a sports dynamic growing up. So I really have my foot in all different types of sports. And the main reason my mother wanted me to play sports is just to make sure I stay out of trouble, just make sure I have my head on my shoulders. So, and I found that I was pretty good at soccer. Like, I was faster than most kids. And I realized not a lot of people were doing it out of my friend group. So I was like, you know what? I could really do something with this.
You played a lot of the sports growing up. Like, I heard that you played it. You were just not a soccer player growing up. You played all different sports. What made you decide on soccer, besides you being better than, like, did you enjoy it a little bit more, or you were just like, I'm way better than my teammates, so I'm just going to do this?
So I think I really made the decision once I got to high school, because I played basketball, football, lacrosse, I ran track. All the way up through my early years into middle school. And then once I got to high school, that's when, you know, the season started and, like, there's overlap. So I was playing basketball and soccer in high school. And it started conflicting because I was playing club a little. And I was like, you know what, I'm more serious about soccer. Basketball, I think I was pretty good at basketball. I still think I could do a little something on the court. But soccer was definitely where I knew I could have a career at.
Yeah, and did the because I mean St. Benedict's and the high school you went to, not just the soccer program has a lot of history, but all sports. You know, I think there's a handful of pros that made their way through that school. But did the soccer program specifically have an influence on you and you know? Not only choosing the school, but choosing to play soccer. What was it like at that school? Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops, all throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime for your desktop or mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team and to remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Yeah, so I was actually playing for a club in Newark, Cedar Star, like a small EDP club. I was playing for Cedar Stars, Newark, that's the name of the club. But we were practicing at St. Benedict's Field. And I was training there, and then I guess one of the coaches saw me and they were trying to get me to come to the school. So that's how I ended up going to St. Benedict's, and I started learning more about the program and how they try and shape you to be a man, you know. And that's one thing that I liked, but my mother also liked too, because she always just wanted me to do well in life. And then once I finally got to the school, I realized, like, well, there's some serious ballers here, because St. Benedict's, they bring people from everywhere. So, like, Brazil, different parts of Africa, just anywhere you could think of. So it was just a culture of getting to know different people, being able to converse and understand people's cultures. So that's one thing I really did appreciate. And when I first, my freshman year, I was playing on the freshman team. You know, most freshmen, I always play on the freshman team. And it was fun. I was with my friends. I was still able to play basketball because the freshman season was a little shorter. So once the freshman season of soccer was over, I went to go play basketball with my other friends, you know. So it was, yeah. Freshman year was just a nice year. But then my sophomore year, I wanted to take soccer serious because if I did want to go to college, I knew it would have been hard to really come up with the funds to pay for college. So I knew I had to really hit the books and just put my head down and grind. So that's when I really started putting my foot on the pedal. My sophomore year, I played JV. I didn't see a lot of the field that much, but for me, I'm somebody that I don't really dwell on things. I just take it for what it is, and then if I know I can get somewhere, I'll just keep pushing until I get there. So my sophomore year, I didn't really play that much. Then my junior year, which is where I seen a couple of my former teammates getting called up to play varsity, I was like, all right, hopefully this is my chance to get called up now. But unfortunately, I didn't get called up yet, so I was still on JV, but I was blessed with the opportunity to captain the JV team. So I was given this responsibility. It helped me grow as a player, you know. It's hard seeing your friends doing things that you want to do, but it gives you a different outlook, like to just keep pushing because you know you can eventually get there. And then eventually by my senior year, that's when I got the call up to play on the varsity team.
Damn, that's so. So like,
oh, sorry, what did you say?
No, that's crazy because 1 year of varsity and now you made it to the pros. Like, did you feel like you were a late bloomer? Did something click? Like, how did that jump happen? So with just playing only 1 year of varsity high school soccer,
it was like the off season. So I had, like I was saying, I didn't really have a lot of people in my close knit friend group that played soccer. So I had to take that extra step and go out, you know, like drive a few miles to go find go to a park where people are playing soccer, and then push myself to try and go up against them, or like keep pushing myself, or take myself to like the parking lot at my old elementary school and just get touches on the ball right in the parking lot, just working on things that I know I need to improve. And even my senior year at St. Benedict's, I didn't play that much, up until maybe I got in here and there, you know, I scored maybe a couple goals, but I was seeing the bench for most of the season up until the last two games is, so we were competing for a national championship, and I got put in the game for our semifinal and I scored, which allowed us to keep going on to the final. And then it was senior night, so you know, most in high school your senior night all the seniors play. So I had my friends there. I had my mother there, like just my family. It was cool because I knew I was going to play because it's senior night. And I ended up getting in the game, scoring 2 goals, and we ended up winning, becoming national champions. And luckily, there was a scout that was at the game, which called me and invited me to go to a Florida showcase with them and the Cedar Stars Academy team now. So I joined them, went to Florida, went to the showcase, did what I had to do, score some goals out of Florida, and then I got my first couple offers for college.
So that wasn't until your senior year until you got those offers?
Yeah, like after high school season.
Wow, that's
season.
That's wild. That's wild. So how do you stay ready for that opportunity? Because that's something that I think a lot of people that now you see there's a with the kind of transfer portal and all that, there's people are maybe quicker to move schools or, you know, quicker to maybe even move sports. How do you stay ready? How do you stay mentally prepared for that opportunity that you got? Not till the last game of the season in the national champion. Was that the national championship game where you scored those 2 goals?
Yes.
Yeah. So you were waiting the whole season for that opportunity. And when it finally came, you know, you were able to take advantage of it. But how do you stay ready for something like that? For not seeing the field for so long?
I think it's really a mindset. Just being a positive person, and not, I don't know another word. I'm just like, I would say not hating, you know, just not hating on the next person. Just understanding that everybody has an opinion. So like coaches, other teammates, in their eyes, you might not be good or you might be good, but you just have to have confidence in yourself. And I always had confidence in myself and my abilities. So I always knew whenever I did get on the field, I'm gonna express myself and just do what I know I could do. So that whenever I did get that opportunity, I was ready.
Yeah. Did you ever consider that you had to, like, was there ever any time during your time at St. Benedict's that you were like, dang, the ballers come from here? Did you ever feel that type of pressure knowing that there's people that have come to your school and have, like, made big careers out of them, their, like, playing skills, their talents? Was that ever something that ever crossed your mind?
Yeah, it did cross my mind. Like, a lot of pro players would come back to the school and talk to us, and it was something I really did appreciate. And not playing, it also did. There was a point where I didn't want to play soccer anymore. Like my best friend at the time in high school, I was telling him like, "Yeah, this is not really for me. Like, I'm gonna just buckle down on school and try and get a good GPA so I can go to college and not have to pay." But like, I had good people in my corner. Like, bro, you're chill, like keep putting your foot on the pedal, you'll be all right.
Was there any a teammate that was like, "Hey, yeah, I started over you now that you're playing pro, like, hey, remember when I started over you?" And you're like, now, like, "Ah, look at me now though. Yeah. Look at me now."
Hey, honestly, like when I got drafted, obviously, like, people grow apart and things like that. One of my close friends from high school, he reached out to me. He was like, "Bro, this is so crazy." Like, we were, because me and him were both on the bench during the whole, like, during high school or whatever. And we'd just be chopping it up on the bench, enjoying the game, just enjoying life and just hoping we got an opportunity. But when he seen I went pro, he was like, "Wow, like, people don't really know the the struggle."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that you don't really see too often, where you have a guy who didn't play pretty much at all in high school, getting a late Division I offer to play at CSUN. I want to talk about the CSUN days, but and then eventually, like, showing enough potential and talent to get drafted. But now that you're drafted and you're professional, the draft is not the main, like, pipeline to MLS anymore, like it was, you know, before the academy systems were more developed. So do you kind of feel like that underdog mentality or your previous experiences have now prepared you to stay prepared in your current situation with the Earthquakes?
Absolutely. Like, I'm always ready, no matter what. So, like, I hate losing. So if you ask any one of my teammates, if you're playing small-sided, if you're playing tic-tac-toe, Connect Four, any game that you compete in, I hate losing. And I think it's because of that. Like, I like being counted out so I could just prove you wrong. And that's something that's kept propelling me. You know, I always feel like I could always better myself. I never reach, like people be like, oh, you made it. I'm like, I'm here, but I haven't done nothing yet. Mm-hmm. So I just keep pushing myself as far as I go, as far as I can go.
Yeah. And so let's talk about going to college, because, you know, you get, was CSUN the first team to offer you after that Florida showcase?
So yes, I had interest from a couple other schools, but CSUN was the first to really give me numbers, you know? So, mm-hmm. And I had two official visits. CSUN was my first official visit, and then I had another official visit for UConn. But I went to, so I'm from the East Coast. I've never been to California. My mother's never been to California, so they set up our whole trip to come on an official visit. And as soon as we got off the plane, we fell in love. Like it just looked like all the movies and the palm trees. It was just crazy. And they just sound like they really had a good plan for me. And the coaches, the way they welcomed me, the older players that were there already were welcoming me when I was on my visit. I just felt the love, and I felt the sense of community and the trust, especially since I was coming all the way from across the country. So,
yeah. Did they? Go ahead.
I committed. I didn't even go on my next official visit. I committed while I was there.
Wow, that's
so
big.
Terry Davila did all that day.
Yeah. So it's like, I think I was there for 3 days. I committed on the third day, like right when I was about to leave.
Damn, they say not to do that. They say, yeah, like, you know, that when you're taking your trip, they're going to want you to commit. And they say, you know, take your time, weigh your options. But you said, no, I'm going here.
That's exactly what Terry said to me. He's like, you know, I don't want to pressure you. You have the time. I'm like, I looked at my mom. I'm just like, we're here. Like, we're good.
Did they explain to you that that CSUN is in the Valley and that's not LA? Hey, did they explain that to you?
Okay, wait.
Because
let me preface this. Let me preface this.
So you know now.
Let me preface this. So
I just wanted to make sure.
I was born in the Crenshaw-Slauson area. Bridget was more like in the Fairfax area, and then Ramsey was like in San Francisco. Right.
So these two clowns, but before they influenced you one way, CSUN, for those of you who don't know, the listeners who don't know, CSUN, Cal State University Northridge, located in the Valley, San Fernando Valley, in Los Angeles.
SFV.
They're from. More LA proper areas. I'm from the San Fernando Valley. I'm from Woodland Hills. I went to preschool at CSUN actually for a little bit. I did like a mommy and me class, like maybe tour for a couple.
We don't
years,
have but, that in LA.
So we've had this ongoing discussion, and I'm usually outnumbered. We've had a couple of Valley guests, Valley natives. And while I agree with them, it's completely separate. The Valley and other neighborhoods of LA, completely different vibes, completely different areas. It's a little bit farther out, you know, it's hotter. There's its own thing going on in the Valley. If you took the Valley and made it its own city, it'd be like the 10th largest city in the country, something like that. So what was your experience like living in the Valley for while you're at CSUN? What was that experience like for you?
This was the first time I was really like on my own technically.
Yeah.
So everything was new. So like you learn a different culture. I started trying a lot because there's a lot of Mexican food in the Valley. I started trying Mexican food, like street food. That's when I really started becoming, because I like trying new food spots because I was in the Valley. And there's just a whole bunch of food spots out there. But that was when I really experienced heat. Seriously.
Yeah. No, that's a different
Valley.
Kind of heat.
Valley. Yeah.
You like that orange sauce that Habanero don't play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that heat is ridiculous sometimes. Like when we was in precinct, I'm like, this is bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's just a community. Like especially since CSUN is, I would kind of say, the heart of Northridge, you'll see people everywhere. Like you go to a Target, you're like, oh.
It's the same. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it was cool. I I'm happy I got to experience it, definitely.
Yeah. I want to go back to, because you said that I realized that, that CISA in the Valley was in LA. What was that moment for you? When did you experience that? Let's just go back to that real quick.
So I had a friend that lived in Los Angeles, I guess. And I'm like, he was like, oh, where do you stay? I'm like, oh, I live in Los Angeles too. He was like, where? Like Northridge. Like, that's not Los Angeles. And I'm like, but like, if I'm getting a package and I type in the address, I could just put Los Angeles.
It's part of LA City. Yeah. But so there's a whole culture around that where LA is very neighborhood based. Whereas, you know, like if I were to ask where Julio was from, he'd say, you know, I'm from Crenshaw Slauson. If I asked where Bridger was from, you know, the Fairfax area, you know, like you ask people where they're from in LA, they're not going to tell you, you know, I'm from LA. Or even if someone asks you outside of LA, like if someone were to ask me in like Denver or, you know, Oregon, right. Portland, like, right. Where are you from? I'm from the Valley in LA. And then like if someone from like Santa Monica, they'd be like, yeah, I'm from Santa Monica, and that's in Los Angeles. So it's like you're very neighborhood oriented, for better and for worse in LA. And I feel like that's just something that they might not understand as much as they think they do. But I hear what they're saying, and I understand this, and we've gone through this, you know, since we started 2 years ago, but it's nice to see other people's perspectives when it comes to the whole, you know, LA Valley, East Side, West Side, South Bay, mm-hmm. you know, that conversation, because it's I think it's unique to everybody's, you know, own perspective.
Yeah, a lot of my friends and family just know I'm in LA.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Which makes sense. I don't argue with that. Like if you're in a whole other state and they ask you where you're from and you're from the Valley and you're going to say LA, yeah, say LA, like rep it. But when you're out here, you got to say where you're really from.
For sure. And that's what I've been trying to, like, Bridget, I'm so glad you said that, because that's what I've been trying to argue this entire time. But now
we get down to specifics here.
Yeah.
these people got real trauma. Let's get back to the CISA days.
Like, yeah. Right.
Knowing Terry played for CISA. He's now the head coach. Great guy, knows soccer really well. Also Victor. My brother grew up playing with Victor, a video analyst for the El Salvadorian national team. How's having those two great coaches in CISA molded you as a player going forward?
So it was actually those two, Victor and Terry, but we also had Milan too. So it was those
three. I heard about him as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the best. I promise you. It's like they just goes together. The coaching staff. Terry's like,
no nonsense. Like my father.
yeah. Like on the field, no nonsense. He's like, he'll be on it, you know, but he'll crack a little joke here and there and then lock in. And I'm just like, are you mad or like what's your mood? Victor is so tactical. He's a great coach. Like he just understands the game so well. And he really helps you with the mental aspect too. Like if I was going through something, like there was a time where I missed the penalty kick in a game, and like it was one of my more selfish moments that I like grew from and I learned from, because I wasn't supposed to take the penalty kick, but I took the penalty kick, mm-hmm. and I missed. Mm-hmm. And you know, like Terry let me have it. I deserve to have that, you know, like I shouldn't have been selfish, but I obviously learned from that. But I was going through it for the next 3 days, because if we would have won that game, we would have been in first place. And like I'm usually the loudest one at practice with a smile on my face, just early in the morning, just, you know, being in everyone's face. But those 3 days I was there with my hood on, just out of it. And Victor always made sure to check on me each one of those days to make sure I was good. And that's why I really do appreciate him. Then Milan's like the player coach, you know, like he'll join in the sessions and play, talk smack to you in the game. Like he's just someone that you need to have in your coach staff. He's great. He gives me the no nonsense, you know, like he's helped me develop as a player so much. I think I was thinking about leaving college early before.
I heard that you were supposed to leave a year early. You were set to leave a year early season, and you still came back that final year.
Yeah, I was supposed to leave my sophomore year, but the coaching staff, they didn't let me. They're like, I don't think you're ready for it. Like, if I'm gonna be real with you, I don't want you to get lost, because what happens is a lot of players leave college to join the pro realm and then get lost because maybe they're not ready. They start falling out. Teams, it's not what teams want at that time. But you know, me being young and hearing that, oh, you could go pro, I'm just like, I'm out. But they made sure to keep me reeled in. And if I would have left early, I think I would have been one of those players that might have fell into the loop and like lost myself, because I don't think I would have been ready. That last year I played in college really helped me develop as a player and as a person. So the coaching staff is just phenomenal.
What would you say was, knowing that you had that moment where you were like, I'm out, like they said I could be pro, I'm gonna be pro. What was that compared to where you are now that you are in the pro league and you're, you know, experiencing that very moment? Like, what would you say is the difference? And what is it that helped you realize, like, those are the things that I was missing before, and I'm glad I stayed one more year to develop that?
So, my touch. Like, when I first got my first couple days of preseason, I didn't realize how fast players in the, like, how fast the game is when you become a pro. I'm like, you watch it on TV, it's like, all right, cool, I could do that. But when you're actually in it, it's like, oh, cool. Now I see why these players are professionals. Mm-hmm. So if I would have left earlier, I don't think I would have been even able to compete on the field. Like, my touch would have been everywhere. My speed of play would have been slow. I just wouldn't have been comfortable on the field, because I'm still getting comfortable and acclimated. And we're already two games in. And, you know, it's like, it's a learning curve. It's a part of the development. But I feel like I left at the right moment, because I'm going up every day. I'm feeling more and more comfortable. I'm doing what I have to do, especially since I'm in a new position now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If I would have left earlier and get put in this position, I don't think I would have succeeded.
So before we start talking about your, like, going pro, like, something about season, like, not a lot of players do get drafted or go pro. I don't know what your experience is, but just knowing Edwin, seeing the alumni game, seeing Sean Franklin come through, Willie Sims, a lot of these MLS players have kind of drafted for season. I know it's a tight community. Did you experience anything on those alumni game? These guys came coming down and spitting game to you, letting you know, like, hey, this is what you got to expect.
Yeah, so when I got drafted, you know, I'm happy, I'm ecstatic, but the thing with them, they all talk to me. So, like, they know I don't like the soft version of things. I like the real version. So I got drafted, I was happy, and they just told me straight, like, this is just a start. Now you gotta earn a contract, and then once you earn your contract, you have to earn another contract and keep going from there, because you're a commodity to this team. They put a dollar sign on you and your value. So if you're not doing something to add value to the team, then you're gone. So keeping that in the back of my head, it's like, every day I gotta come. You know, I haven't done anything yet, so it's just boom, boom, boom every day. And they check in with me here and there. Like, Sean Franklin had always praised me. He asked me how I'm doing. Just a lot of the old alumni, they just check in with me, and I really do appreciate that.
Shout out the Doors, man.
Yeah, the Matadors, I know it's a tight community. Edwin said you played with him, I think, last summer, LA Force against CSUN game, and he was like, yeah, I locked him up. What do you got to say to him?
Hey, Edwin. Edwin's my dog. Like, he's one of those guys that also helped me, too. Like, he kept me with the right mindset. I also I was coaching at Viewpoint High School, where he was coaching everyone. Mm. So that's when I really got close to him, and he started talking to me. But he doesn't even notice. I seen Edwin play when I came on my official visit.
Oh, wow.
And he was cooking people. And you know, Terry has his little side remarks. He just looked at me like, that's why he's a pro. And then left. I was like, all right, my bad.
No, he, like I said, Edwin, me and Edwin grew up, so we were like 8 years old together. as my dog. And he was like, just let him know that. Like, just let him know that. Because he, at the end of the day, he's still competitive. Like, you see some guys are just, for no reason, competitive.
Yeah, I like it. He's a dog. He'll hit you.
That's yeah. Definitely. Oh, yeah, that side hit for sure is coming.
Yeah, so let's talk about now that you're making.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In the transition into the pro ranks, right? You had the preseason. You know, you did the camp at Coachella. Now that the regular season is starting, what has been your experience like so far? I know you've said, you know, it was kind of a stark reality when it hit you, you know, the speed of everything. But what was it like joining the team? How were you welcomed, and how are you kind of getting adjusted to the pro lifestyle now?
So when I came in, for me, it was like, I'm a freshman again. Like, I'm a rookie, but in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm a freshman again. And I was thinking about how the freshman that came in at CSUN when I was a senior, well, junior, well, somewhere in between. I'm like, you know, the best thing to do is just to keep your head down and grind, you know, not say too much, don't do too much. They've been helping me along the way. Like, everybody was so helpful. I came in very quiet. They're like, we know you got a personality. Like, speak up a little bit. Because I'm not gonna lie, I was a little shy. I didn't really know how professional players really acted, if there was egos, if there was, you know, because there's always different balances. People have different cultures. I actually downloaded Duolingo, so I've been working on my Spanish to just engage with different players, and it's been good. But from the first week to now, I feel like I improved tremendously. Like, just making sure I'm always early. I treat myself as a professional player. I eat well. I at the field after hours, just making sure I'm putting in work, because I'm new. So I have to make sure that when I come in, I have to add something to the team, because at that point, then I have no value. And my goal is to get on the field. So every day I've been really just focusing on the small things that the coach tells me. I watch film. I make sure I'm trying to clean up my touch, speed up my decision making. And from like I said, from the first week to now, it's just crazy development. And I'm proud of myself, because I'm in a new position. I was playing forward my whole life, and then they put me left back. And now, from me going forward, now I got people coming at me. So it's like, whoa. But I changed real quick, and I'm a defender. So I'm ready for it. Mm-hmm.
So what is your favorite curse word in another language?
What'd you say?
What is your favorite curse word in another language now that you are at the Duolingo?
A curse word?
I'm joking. Don't
I'm like,
he had a couple that he wanted to.
He's
to,
like, we're not about to
this
say those.
Started rolling in my head.
The whole list started coming out.
Hey, so what was your? I don't know if you had one yet, but what is your welcome to the MLS moment? Like, dang, hey, relax with your first touch, bro. Like, let me make the team.
Wait, one more time. Sorry.
What was your welcome to the MLS moment? Like, you knew, like, this level is in a whole different atmosphere from what you were used to.
Oh, first off, the field. Like, they take care of the field. Not saying Houston's field was bad, but these people, like, the field is a professional field. So the ball was flying, like flying. So I think within our first week, we was doing passing drills, and someone zipped the ball into my feet at 1,000 miles per hour. And usually I'm comfortable. Like, I just take a touch. I took a touch, and the ball went like 10 feet in the air. And I'm like, oh, I got locked. But yeah, that was really a wake-up call. Or like if I hit somebody a little bit, not a little bit, but like I hit somebody in practice. I'm not gonna say no names, but I for sure got hit back. And I was like, oh, okay. But right, I like that. Right. You know, I like the competition. It keeps me going.
Right.
Yeah.
You joining the team, was there any sort of like, and you don't have to say too much, but knowing that like you're joining a new team, was there any sort of initiation or like opportunity where the team was like, hey, you're new, you got to do this, or like you got to show us, you know, some sort dance of talent, move, skill?
Did you sing? Yeah.
Did they put you on the spot for anything?
No, I think every team, like when most professional soccer teams, they have like a rookie thing where you just got to sing a song. So that was pretty much it. I had to sing a song and just talk about myself, but I'm pretty outgoing, so I didn't really faze me that much.
What song did you have to sing?
I chose Waka Waka by Shakira.
Oh, classic.
Did you do the hip movements?
I didn't do the hip movements.
And that's for the Patreon. We'll have that for the Patreon subscribers only content. Yeah.
$5.99 a month. He got you.
Nah, I kept it nice. Little rock side to side.
Right. You did the hitch, the step and snap, the step right. Stay right here, right. I know you mentioned you didn't want to name any names, but we had Jeremy Obobese, on the podcast a few months back or a couple weeks back. And, you know, talking to him about the way he handles himself as a professional and the way he's grown from, you know, a young guy in the league to now a veteran. Has there been anything that he's given to you? And I know you're going up against him in practice, being a defender and him being a striker. Has there been anything that you've taken from him specifically, or there's anything that he has shown that you have maybe, you know, took a mental note or wrote down and learned from?
He's honestly a great mentor. That's one of the older players that's actually looked out for me. You know, all of them, they really do look out, but my locker is actually right next to his locker. So, he gives me tips. He's funny. He gives me a lot of little jokes too. But when I'm on the field, if I make a mistake, he'll tell me like, do this instead of that. You know, just keep going. And those are things that I really do appreciate, because it's not like I guess a lot of players could get mad, but for him, it's more so encourage him to keep going, keep being confident. And that's he's just a good mentor. Like he also meditates too, which is something that I've tried to incorporate, you know, because it's tough. Like if you're having a rough day, there's not really a lot of people that you could really go to. It's not like college where you got your teammate that's right next to you. You can just vent real quick. Because once I leave the facility, I come home to be by myself, you know, and that you could just be caught up in your thoughts if you had a bad day. So just being able to meditate, take notes, journal, those are some things that I picked up from him. Also, he's been getting on me about, because we have, when we eat, I eat vegetables. I promise you I do. But sometimes sometimes the plate don't have vegetables on it, and he'll get on me. Like, he'll be on me about it. He have the camera on my face, like, where's your vegetables, you know? So, make sure I take care of myself.
Hey, that's a good vet. That's what you want.
He's looking out for you, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. He ain't no Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah. So now that, you know, you mentioned some of the CSUN players said that, you know, you've made it, but you're not there yet. And that's something that you've said, that, I'm here, I'm with the team, I got a contract, but this isn't it for me. You have your sights set, at higher heights. From someone who went from not playing very much in high school, 1 year of varsity, couple games of experience, you know, a late college offer, to really blossoming into a player good enough to become a professional and earn a spot on a MLS team. What, like, how do you stay focused? How do you stay, you know, how do you use your previous experience of, you know, I've been here before, to now set up your goals for what you're looking for in the future?
Now it's just like I'm back at square one, you know? That's because I had a whole little thing going on up here with my hair. But once I drafted, I cut it all off because I'm like fresh start, you know, back at stage one. And now my goal is to get on the field because I come in, there's already veterans in that position. And I love my teammates, but I want to be on the field too. So now I got to compete against players that have been here for 5 years, 6 years. So just knowing that I've been in this spot before where I haven't been on the field, it doesn't really faze me. Like I show up to practice every day, work hard. I don't get beat off the dribble. And that's just my mindset. I just refuse to get outworked on the field. Mm-hmm. And I just keep that with me every day that I step on the field.
Yeah. Are you going to grow the hair back out or?
Oh yeah. Cause I was getting the waves for a little minute, but I'm gonna grow my hair back out.
Oh, you woofing. No, so like I said before the podcast started, I just went to San Jose to go catch the LA Galaxy San Jose game. I know there's a lot of vendors around the stadium that set up shop. It's like a little taco shop. Have you tried the food there?
No, I haven't, because I've only been we only had one home game so far when I was against Galaxy, but I have tried the little street hot dogs or sausages, like whatever it's called. Yeah. I have tried it in LA, so I know it's I know it's got to be all right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we know the hot dog of the vendors that's like
they be taxing. Forget
that, dude. They hustle, man. They hustle hard. You
$10 for one hot dog? Yeah, I trip.
Hey, listen, when you're hungry, you're hungry.
Yeah. I'm usually drunk.
But I respect it. I respect it.
It's a hustle.
Yeah.
You can't knock their hustle.
Five for two? What the? How does that make sense? 10 for one? Hey, well, 10 for one, let me get 5 for 2, though.
Hey, you gotta try.
What would you say is your favorite, like, street food? Like, your go-to?
My favorite food?
Like, street food.
Oh, street food? I had some tacos, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, probably some tacos, all types of different tacos. I just, there was time to call, I just crave, and I just leave the house, go for a little walk, and just find a little spot, and just, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does the food in the Bay compare to the food in L.A.?
How's the food?
Compared from the Bay to L.A.
To be honest, I haven't really explored the Bay yet, because I really just got settled into my apartment, so I was just doing a lot of different things, but I have a couple things saved on, you know, TikTok or Instagram,
right?
Some restaurants that I'm gonna try.
We'll check back in with you 4 or 5 months.
Yeah,
from
we
now.
we need to hear your experience, like compare LA to the Bay. We gotta listen.
I heard the Bay
that.
Has good food though.
Yeah. The Bay is well known. I mean, obviously LA is known for its, you know, cuisine, and
they each have their own.
Yeah, but the Bay has, you know. From fine dining to street food, I think, you know, the Bay has you covered, and especially in San Jose. My sister lives in San Francisco, and she does talk about how good the food is out there. So, you know, we'll check back in and see where you're at, you know.
So you haven't even gone to, like, San Francisco, like, what is it called, the Bay?
East Bay?
No, like, where they have, like, the fisherman's wharfs and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
No, I haven't. I need to, though. I should be going soon, though, because like I was saying before, I just moved in.
Right.
So I'm settled now. So I'm going to do a little bit more exploring. Like, I went to a hockey game, the Sharks game.
Okay.
It was my second game, but my first time going was when I was, like, 10 or 12, somewhere around there. But this was my first time going to a hockey game. Like, wow, I got to get out and do some more stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you for a favorite club out there, but I'm gonna wait for it. You gotta settle in a little bit, like, get your foot in the door.
The hyphy era hasn't gotten to him yet.
Yeah. Right. You haven't popped your collar 3 times.
I gotta put on a little fit one time.
Hey, yeah. One time for the one time.
Let's talk about that, because, you know, obviously a lot of what we do covers stuff off the pitch, and, you know, fashion is a big part of that. Music's part of a big part of that. But you know, now that you were a pro, the level of, you know, standard, the bar is set a little bit higher when it comes to the pregame fit, what you're wearing, what you're posting on Instagram. What talk about your style, your fashion, what you bring to the table when it comes to that?
I feel like I could really put it on, you know.
Light work,
you know.
Like, in college, you could say it. Like, in college, I was, when we had our pregame flicks, I was making sure I was fitted for the pictures.
Okay.
But yeah, like, I'm gonna start indulging in different things. I like thrifting a lot. I just like being able to express myself and just wear what I like. But I definitely have some grills in the closet that are gonna get whipped out. So.
Period.
The first pregame fit has to be serious, you know.
Right. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on that on the gram to see, you know, what you're coming with in the tunnel.
Not to give out your grill though, but what is your everyday sneaker looking like right now?
Everyday, I'm not gonna lie, I wear Birks almost every day.
Birks. Oh, my man, Ramsey. I love that. Yeah,
it's that valley in you.
Yeah, it's that valley in you.
maybe it could be that. Hey, but I go to Silver Lake. I see people rocking the Birkenstocks all day.
Those are in the little, like, with the closed toe.
Yeah.
Nah, but like not the open toed ones. Like,
right, the closed toe. The Bostons.
Yeah. Yeah.
The clogs. Yeah, that.
What about sneakers? Like, what's your go-to sneaker?
Sneakers.
You saw one right now. Just pull it out. Show the camera.
I can show you the can. I can show you.
Show it.
All right. Yeah. Let's do it.
Hey, we want to see it.
MTV Cribs.
I'll take a walk.
All right.
Want to see the closet right now?
I'm still waiting for, you know, a couple of more. A few things, but like, it's all right.
Okay.
Oh, all right. I see.
Mr. Organized.
That's a Container Store joints. Those are expensive. That's next level.
Yeah, I like, you know, treating myself here and there to get it.
As you should.
And help me humble. Yeah. No, but all right. So, like, we know that, like, the shoe game now is legit. But what about pre-game playlists? What are we listening to before we get to the game? On you some Black Air Forces, NBA YoungBoy stuff, or what are we on?
It's a little bit of everything. Like, I might handle some, I might listen to some Afro beats, but then I also listen to a little bit of like New York drill music or something to really get the competitive juices flowing, you know?
Right.
But it's usually between a nice little Afro beats ambience where I could just vibe a little bit, then into the little hardcore stuff. But,
right.
But if I have to give you an artist, for Afrobeats, I'd probably say, like, you know, Burna Boy.
Yeah.
Who else? Omalay.
Wizkid. You into Wizkid at all?
Yeah, I like Wizkid. It's a lot of like underground. It's just a big genre. I listen to a lot of reggae music too, because I'm Jamaican, so I listen to a lot of reggae music. But on the flip end, I listen to a lot, like Chef G. Those are like New York artists.
Yeah.
Meek Mill, Lil Baby, those type of artists, you know.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You said you have Jamaican heritage. If you had the chance to, number one, I know what Julio wants to ask, but before we get into that, if you had the chance to represent Jamaica or the U.S. I know Greg Berhalter went to St. Benedict, so you might have the connect there. But if you had a choice to represent Jamaica or the U.S., who are you picking?
I would just say the U.S. because it's more opportunities. You know, like you could end up in the Premier League from playing with the U.S. But I would always love to play for either or. So wherever the opportunity presents itself, I'll be there.
Yeah, and then have you been to Jamaica before?
Yeah, I've been to Jamaica. I used to go a lot when I was younger, but then like my schedule started getting real busy. I still have family out in Jamaica.
Okay, we've had multiple Jamaican national team players and people with Jamaican heritage on the pod, and one thing that they bring up is the KFC there is a little bit different. It hits a little bit different when you're out there. Have you tried that? Is that can you give any?
Can you elaborate?
Or deny, KFC is way better than Jamaica.
Like it's way, it's like a different level. Like they put love, they put love into the food.
Yo, okay. Yo, I mean,
that's that, our first international trip.
Yeah, because that, like, the I saw your face light up the second I brought.
You're
the
like glowing.
Yeah. So I mean, it must be. It's got to be a complete different experience.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. Nobody's lying to you. Nobody's lying to you.
Yeah. What is the urban spices?
Yeah, it's like they just put love into the food. It's just phenomenal.
That might be a secret. Yeah. So I think we can retire that question now because that's like 5 for 5. No one has said.
No one has said no, or no one has like yeah.
Yeah. So unless this is some like major conspiracy, I think
we gotta go for ourselves.
Yeah. We gotta try this for ourselves.
Yeah. And one thing I'll tell everybody: stay away from white rum. That thing is no joke. White rum.
What's it called?
White rum. Yeah, stay away from that. Like my cousin
was away from that. I haven't indulged in that yet, but I believe you.
He's like, I'm gonna take your word.
I believe you.
Hey, I had a question for you. I was we were obviously talking about having this opportunity to like sit and chat with you on a virtual level, and I looked you up and you had a Wikipedia page come up. And it was like, you know, short, sweet, and concise. And this question came to me. I'm like, who do you know who created your Wikipedia? And like, is it accurate? And like, how did that come about? And did you know you have a Wikipedia page?
My mother, the funny thing is, my mother told me 2 days ago that I had a Wikipedia.
Listen,
I have no idea who made it.
That is wild.
I don't really know like what. I didn't really read too much into it, but I hope all this stuff is factual. Was there anything that looked a little crazy?
No, I mean.
You said your first touch was kind of wild.
They might not be lying.
they said the fits were a little off. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Right, we got to fact check. No, but honestly, like, it's just like a very, you know, like a very serious question for me, I think, out of curiosity. Like, did you make it? Did someone, you know, and if you're saying that you didn't even know, like, that's kind of crazy, right? Like, that means that people have their eyes on you. You're coming up and coming, and there's obviously potential. We see it. We know it. But also, isn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Like, my mother is, because this is new to my whole family, you know? So
right.
My mother's on everything. Like, she's picking up. If somebody mentions me in something, she knows. Like half the stuff I don't even be knowing about because I just don't be searching my name up. But she be on it, so I'll find out through her. But it's crazy. Like a lot of this stuff is surreal.
Right. Yeah. I mean, now you got a new pickup line. You could be like, look me up.
You don't know me?
You don't know me? Look me up.
Look me up.
I'm out there.
Resources, disgruntled ex.
Oh my goodness.
It was the C-Sug he brought over.
I for sure didn't see that.
No, we can't get into that.
I for sure did not see that.
Yeah. No, Jamar, thank you so much. We're running out of time here, but again, you know, we appreciate you. Your journey is something that's inspiring, I think, to a lot of soccer players.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So to close things out, if you could say one thing to high school Jamar, who's not playing, he's sitting on the bench, you know, waiting to get his opportunity, what would be the one piece of advice you would give to him now where you're at today?
One piece of advice I would say is just to be patient. You never know who's watching. You never know when your opportunity is going to present itself, but whenever that opportunity does come, you should be ready for it and just be ready to go after it and kill it. So that was one thing that I always stick with. Everybody has their own time.
Yep. And your journey is a testimony to that. So shout out to you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Appreciate you, man. Next time you're in LA, you know, definitely we'll try to make this in-person link up. Whenever we go to the Bay next, you know, we'll try to do the same. But really appreciate you, man. We'll be following your journey. We'll be rooting for you. Congrats to everything, you know, you've accomplished so far. And, you know, best of luck to you moving forward.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Yeah, Jamar Ricketts, thank you for joining the Urban Pitch Podcast. This has been the Urban Pitch Podcast, the beautiful game of life, part of the Bleav Network. For Jamar Ricketts, Julio Matarosa, Bridget Flores, I'm Ramsey Abushala. Keep it tapped in. We got more things to come, but we'll see you next week. Yeah.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.